The Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast is brought to you by Magical Vacation Planner by Caris for help planning your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Alani, Universal Studios, Orlando and Hollywood, Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Caris on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Caris-Milano. We are also brought to you by Dr. Skipper's Jungle Etsy store. I don't know what he calls it, but David Marley, Jungle Skipper. Go check him out on Etsy. All right, coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, it's our Midsummer. No, not the Swedish horror film. Not that Midsummer. It's July, and it's our Midsummer show, and we're checking out what's been happening while we've been away on vacation. Knott's Berry Farm celebrates a special anniversary, but loses an important way to check and see how your date was going. Universal Studios Hollywood announces an 80s-tastic Halloween Horror Nights maze lineup, plus a long-awaited Chris Pratt and Jeff Goldblum-less Jurassic World ride opens. Plus, more changes are coming to how you book Oga's Cantina and Savvy's Workshop reservations at Galaxy's Edge. And a little bit later on, we're going to talk about our summer so far and what we've enjoyed the most. So, jump in the Metallic P, Wagon Queen, Family Truckster. This is the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast Summer Edition. This is the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast, episode number 36 for the week of July 29, 2019. Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from all of the Southern California theme parks and beyond, brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the host and executive producer of the show, and today I am joined by our associate producer, Brandis Strotman. Hello, Brandis.
Good morning, or afternoon, whenever you're listening.
Knott's Berry Farm reporter and permanent John Strotman. Hello, John.
Hello.
And joining us as a very special guest, Original Recipe John, and our former associate producer John Bass. Welcome back, John.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, John. Everybody, so we're trying to pull together this July episode, as I promised, because I wanted to make sure that it happened. And since it's summer and since it's, you know, the weekend and everybody's busy and everybody's got things to do, and I called around and I called John and said, hey, can you come do a show? And John said, yeah, I guess. So
that's sure. Pretty much it. Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing else going on this weekend.
I was like, I have no plans, whatever. So it's nice to have you back, John. Nice to have you sitting in here with us. What have you been up to?
Life,
yeah.
Life, house.
Yeah. So everybody knows, John got really busy. Like, we never really officially had a goodbye because I didn't ever think John was officially going to go, and he hasn't, and he's here joining us today. But yeah, you did all kinds of stuff. You bought a house. You
bought a house. Got a cat.
Got a cat. Nick Furry. It's possibly the
Instagram Nick Furry.
Instagram Nick Furry at Nick Furry.
One-eyed cat.
Yeah. So I should mention that the cat has one eye, and so he is Nick Furry. It's quite possibly the best cat name ever. Good. So, all right. Well, we're just catching up here, guys. As I promised before, we were going to do a kind of midsummer episode since we didn't get too many episodes in towards the later months of May, June. So I wanted to just have an episode where we came and checked in. We're going to have one more in August. We're going to try to have one more in August before we resume our normal show schedule sometime in September. But this is a new segment called the Lightning Round, where we're going to talk very quickly about certain things. We've called it several other things before, but we've never had a name that sticks. And so I think this name is going to stick. This is the Lightning Round. So how's everybody's summer been going? We're going to talk a little bit later about this, but anybody done anything exciting? We did have the discussion about summer doesn't really mean anything when you're an adult. Remember?
Yeah. It does to me.
It does to me, and it does to me as well. And it does kind of to John a little bit.
No, summer just means projects.
Summer just means projects, yeah. So how have you guys been enjoying your summer so far?
Good. A lot of swimming. Did not enjoy the rain and heat wave this week. That is not normal for Southern California.
Yeah, it was intense. We had some weird weather. It's kind of weird weather going on all over the country, but we had heat and intense rain for about a day or so. You know? So lots of swimming. Lots of you guys have been visiting the parks. We'll talk about that a little bit later on too, but any good good times going to the parks?
We tried not summer nights, and I was underwhelmed.
Okay.
Music is good, though, and I love that they had a DJ up on the roof of Hang Time.
Okay, cool. I think I said, we'll get into that. And John, Original Recipe John, you went to, you and your friend went somewhere down in San Diego.
Yep. Just coming back from San Diego Comic-Con.
Get a little closer to the mic.
Coming back from San Diego Comic-Con, and the recovery process of that.
It has been intense.
Yes. So and then planning out for the next con.
So tell us a little bit about your experience down there, because we promise this won't turn into like convention talk like it did a few months ago. But because you do something really interesting there that I know it's hard sometimes to get tickets to there, but you guys do something different than the normal person to get
right. So Comic-Con has and will always have a volunteer program. They do it for WonderCon as well. So essentially signups go up. I actually think they go up before tickets are available. You sign up to be a volunteer, means you're committing 3 hours of your day to do whatever they need. Anything from chaperoning lines to stuffing bags to being a gopher. But in exchange for that, you get a pass for that day. Or if you happen to work one of the pre-con days, you can get a pass for any day of the con itself. So it's essentially another way to get into the con, but it is a select group. Not everyone who applies will get
in. That's what I'm saying. How does one go about doing that? Because I know that, probably thousands of people would love to do that. But
Assignments, the time frame changes every single year. So essentially there'll be an announcement from Comic-Con saying volunteer signups have opened up. You generally have about 24 hours before they'll close them because they get that many responses. Priority goes to those who have volunteered before because they kind of have a record of what you've done.
Yeah.
Is it
a website that you go to?
It's a website. It's the same. You have to actually sign up just as you normally would for a Comic-Con. For the chance to get a Comic-Con pass, you have to be registered with the Comic-Con site.
Gotcha.
You'll get the email that volunteer registration is up. You type your ID in, say, I want to volunteer. These are the days I'm available, and hope that you get chosen.
Right. And so did you get to do anything like particularly exciting, or did you get to do anything like you get to see anybody?
Nothing horribly exciting. My first day was pre-con, and so it was being a gopher for the stuffing the bags and lanyards. And then something which we've never done, after working at Disneyland, being a greeter for the line and being intense and happy.
No experience with that one.
Can you dress up if you want to do that?
You can. The only restriction on volunteers is whatever you have with you have to take as a volunteer. So people who attend the exhibit floor before their shift and buy tons of stuff, you need to find some place to put that, because you can't take it with you when you're doing a volunteer shift.
One more question, because I've never been to Comic-Con. I've only been to business conventions.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed them because I love free stuff. And there was a ton of free giveaways from all the businesses. Is it anything like that?
It is. There's definitely swag to get at Comic-Con. You have to be smart about it, I guess is the best way. There's Comic-Con itself, and then there's all of these offsites outside of Comic-Con. The offsites are free, don't need a badge, anyone can go to. You typically have to wait, get there first thing in the morning and wait about an hour to 2 hours in line, but those are usually done by the big places like Amazon, NBC.
One of my favorite shows is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
And so I know that.
And they had an awesome offsite this year.
Yeah, they had a great one. It was Brooklyn Nine-Nine and
The Good Place.
And I forget one other one. But
Superstore,
which is another one of my absolute favorite shows. But it was funny because you talk about an hour. I knew actually somebody that was stage managing the Brooklyn Nine-Nine event, and that one was like 5 hours to wait. I'm like,
yeah, if you did not get there first thing in the morning, just forget about it. That's going to be your day. But those outside events, typically every single one of them will give some type of swag, whether it's as simple as pins and buttons to bigger giveaways. And then the rest of it is inside the con. Obviously, some booths give away comic books. Some booths give away just other, posters and things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you follow on Twitter, you will find a lot of specialty pop-up things which will happen. So we went to one of the actually voted the best offsite from the San Diego Comic-Con blog, the Orville Experience.
I saw that one too, which is another one of my absolute favorite shows. Which, you guys ever seen that show? It's that Seth MacFarlane show that's kind of like a spinoff, not a spinoff,
an homage,
like an homage to Star Trek: The Next Generation. Yeah, it's on Fox. It's really funny.
They actually spent some time there talking to the visual effects supervisor, who that was part of the cool thing is that took a building on Jane 11th, which is a little further away, but they essentially decided to do this a couple months ago. It wasn't like super pre-planned.
Yeah.
They brought down props from the shows, masks from the shows, like cool. Everything which you could get, you know, inches from the That's actual cool. Orville model, which they use for original shots.
Yeah, and I saw that. I saw a lot of those pictures coming out of there. But to answer Brandis's questions, yeah, so you get, there's a lot of like freeze, like you go on the floor, the convention floor. You get, but John's right. You got to be smart about it because yeah. I went to a convention recently for like theater professionals and for people that do a lot of designing stuff. And I just came home with like six bags full of crap. So there's a lot of stuff that gets,
you know, a couple of years ago, I went to NAMM.
And, oh, NAMM. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Vietnam?
National Association of Music Makers.
Yes. And I had heard all my life.
About thought John was going to tell us about Agent Orange, his Agent Orange experience.
We have 20 of us went, but only five came back. No, but and I mean, that's probably one of the biggest conventions that I've ever been to, and that was pretty.
Yeah, they give me good stuff there. All right, well that's great, John. So as we kind of talked about, I'm really curious. I love your watching your guys' experience because there's no way in hell I'm going to San Diego Comic Con anymore. I went about 20 years ago, and that's when you could walk up to the ticket booth and buy a ticket, and that was probably the last time I went, and it's probably the last time I will ever go because I saw photos, and I know people. They're having fun and that's their kind of fun. But one of my friends posted a photograph. He was trying to get into Hall H, which if you don't know is the big exhibit hall, right?
Yeah.
I'm not lying here.
It's the biggest hall.
It's the biggest hall. And that's usually where they have the big panels. It's like the Marvel, whatever, anything Marvel or anything that you ever see really coming out of Comic-Con that's huge, happens in Hall H. And what his picture was him in a lawn chair on a like lawn in the blazing San Diego sun. And he's like, it was like 9 hours until the hall opened. And I'm like, this doesn't look like fun to me.
Yeah. They, you know, 5-6 years ago, that was the only way to get into Hall H.
Yeah.
They've actually changed that experience. And so it's a lot, I don't want to say easier to get in. You still have to plan for it. But what they do now is at somewhere between 7:30 and 8:30 at night, there's a line for the next day for Hall H.
Okay.
If you're in that line, you get a wristband. And that wristband guarantees you entrance into Hall H.
Okay.
It's that wristband basically reserves your place in line. You have the option at that point of camping out like your friend did.
Okay.
And those are the people who want the front row seats in Hall H.
Oh,
okay. If you don't care about being in the front row,
gotcha.
Then you just have to be back by 7:30 the next day.
Okay.
And all you right. are in line Let's and you're good
little,
to go. So you can
a little bit.
Get your badge, you know, get your wristband, go back to your hotel, get some sleep, shower, please shower, deodorant. It's a good thing. And then show up by 7:30, join your group if you have a group, and you're going to at least get entrance to the hall.
All right, cool. Well, that'll do it for convention talk again. But no, that's really interesting. I've
Wait, real quick. What was the best thing that you?
Oh yeah.
What was your favorite thing?
For me, honestly, my favorite was the Orville experience because we were, like we said, we were following Twitter, and there was a tweet saying for I believe it was Saturday, be here at 5 p.m. special guests, and it's like, oh, okay, that's like an hour after the Orville panel in the conference room. I wonder if the crew's just gonna come over.
Yeah.
So we actually saw the panel, hopped over, and it wasn't a meet and greet. It was a photo shoot. They were doing a photo opportunity with all the stuff with the cast. So Seth and everyone were there, but they gave away Orville. I'm going to call them coffee table books.
Okay.
But you know, yeah, the book's explaining everything about Orville and kind of the detailed stuff. And you did get a chance to, you know, see the stars. I got my Comic-Con badge signed by Scott Grimes.
Cool.
Just because he happened to be walking by the door. It's like, here.
Nice.
And who is Scott Grimes?
Look him up. Just look him up on IMDb.
Okay.
Did you know John, or were you just faking to be nice?
I wasn't faking. I was like listening to the story. Like, that is cool.
John's really good on dates.
Thanks for calling me out.
And so that was probably the coolest thing. I mean, we did the Amazon Boys offsite where saw the premiere episodes, so the first two episodes of that, plus food and drink, which, hey, free food and drink, that's always a good thing.
For sure.
But reality is I would have probably never watched that series, and after watching the first two episodes, I'm sold on it. I'm like, I want to see the rest to see where this goes.
Now was it me? I mean, this is the last thing we'll talk about this, but was it me, or did there seem to not be the big, like, jaw-dropping announcement that came out of Comic-Con this year? Warner Brothers was not there at all.
No, I say the only stuff which came out was really, you know, the hype everyone had was all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, what Phase 4 is. Not a lot.
Which I feel we didn't get all of that either, because D23 is coming up in 2 weeks.
And that's a big thing, too. People were complaining about there's nothing Star Wars, there's nothing Star Wars. Hey, you got to understand, D23 is happening. Yeah. That's where all the Star Wars is going to go.
Yeah.
Mm. Probably some more Marvel. It wouldn't surprise me if at some point with the growth of D23 that you see less presence at Comic-Con of Marvel because, you know, why wouldn't Disney use that?
But I'm surprised that they used Comic-Con. Honestly, I'm surprised they used Comic-Con to drop their Marvel announcements.
I think it's a little bit of a tradition.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there didn't seem to be that giant.
There's always
throwaway moment.
In the last like 5 or 6 years or so, there's like one moment where everybody's talking about, and there just didn't seem to be that this year. All right, cool. Well, that's going to do it for that. Thank you, John. We're gonna move on. One other thing that I wanted to get into so we're going to talk really quickly about something that was in the news a few months ago. Actually, not a few months ago. It's a few weeks ago, and it seems that there were some developments. And you may have noticed a fight at Disneyland went through the internet and went all over Kingdom Come and all over the world. So there was. I just wanted to mention that there's been some developments in that. In case you haven't heard, so three adults were charged with crimes on this past Tuesday for their suspected roles in a brawl earlier this month at Disneyland's Toontown that went viral after a park goer recorded and posted it to social media. Prosecutors say Avery Robinson, 35, of Las Vegas, attacked his sister, his girlfriend, and his brother-in-law, and his sister spat on him during the argument, and also identified in the fight is, we won't say their names, but one of the combatants' husband. So one of the people was arrested on July 20th and is being held without bail at the Orange County Jail in Santa Ana. Of the three participants in the fight, he faces the most serious charges: corporal injury on a spouse, assault with force likely to produce great bodily injury, assault with a deadly weapon, and two counts of criminal threats, all which are felonies. He's also charged with 5 counts of misdemeanor battery and 4 counts of child abuse and endangerment. He faces 7 years and 4 months in prison if convicted. Another combatant was charged with 4 misdemeanor counts of battery and a misdemeanor count of assault for her part in the fight, which prosecutors say includes assaulting a park employee. She faces a maximum of 2 years in jail if convicted. And it just goes on to talk about more of the charges that were filed against these people. So I know a lot of people were surprised because they didn't really think that the Orange County prosecutor was going to go through with it. But this is all because of that video, that video that was plastered all over YouTube and all over the local news. Had that video not surfaced, then I don't think any of these people would have been charged, because
no way.
The cops and the security didn't get there till, you know, at least halfway through the fight. And from what I understand, the family was denying that the whole thing ever happened to begin with. A statement from Disneyland says any type of violence is inexcusable and will not be tolerated. Liz Yeager said at the time, Disneyland Resort Security responded appropriately within minutes, 3 minutes to be exact, and immediately called the Anaheim Police Department for assistance. After the group was escorted from the park, and this is the best part, prosecutors said Robinson threatened to kill his sister and brother-in-law, simulating a gun with his hand inside the parking structure. He also tried to assault a Disneyland employee with his car.
Like you do.
Like you do.
You know, I just want to say, like, I'm totally not defending him. That guy, like, needs so many restraining orders against him and a long time in jail and therapy. But
that being said,
I was just saying last night when we were watching something on TV, like, so many people get angry and just randomly zoom off in their car, not realizing that they're putting themselves, other people, and their car in danger. So he probably wasn't intentionally trying to insult an employee. He was just trying to angrily take off, as idiots do.
Yeah. And I'm sure maybe, I'm sure
but
he was
the charges
driving,
still
yeah.
should stick.
They should. And, you know, like I said, they, again, going with Brandis's, and we're not going to talk too much about this because this has been all over the place, and it's just, it's sad, and it's not.
Oh, can we talk about Knott's then?
Yeah, sure. Because we're going to talk about that too. You know, it's sad, and it's awful what happened. Have you guys seen that? I'm sure everyone's seen the video, right? Have you guys seen the video?
Yes, yeah. I saw it the night it was yeah. released.
And if you look on our Instagram, actually, if you look on our Instagram page, I'm taking some, I was at Disneyland taking some photographs of, Galaxy's Edge at night, and apparently that was the same day that this happened. So apparently I was there in the evening portion of the day after.
You could have jumped
happened.
In and helped
I could have yeah I could have just brawled.
You could have choked him out,
or you could have videoed it for
yeah for the website. But again, a lot of people will say out loud, well, why didn't somebody step in? Why are people just videotaping this? You know what a
that
good
guy was
that
crazy.
But that, yeah, well, first of all, yeah, that guy was crazy huge. There was no way that security was going to get involved, like one security guard was going to get involved. But finally some people did jump in, but the person videotaping it actually helped yeah. bring charges against this person. Also, like Brandis said, I'm not defending them, but you know, I've been to Disneyland with family, and let's be honest, like, there's lots crossed my mind, you know, like Chris Rock said, I'm not
yeah, but you weren't going around saying I'm ready to go to jail tonight.
Like Chris Rock said, I wouldn't have done it, but I understand. So you, Brandis, you had some issues though with how long it took security to show up, right? I think we talked about that. No,
did we talk about we that? We talked about I that. Did it was yeah. insane. Maybe I mentioned it on Facebook.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it on Facebook.
I was like
yeah.
commenting everywhere.
Yeah,
on Reddit, I was. A lot of people assumed it was Disney World, and I was quick to correct them that Toontown is not in Disney World.
Right.
Not that I wanted to bring attention to yeah. Orange County, but I want people to be correct.
Yeah. But you had some issue with how long it took them to
yeah,
show up,
it,
right?
Like it just seemed like there was park employees. I think it was like, I haven't viewed the video in a couple weeks, but I think it was like a
custodial.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like trying to like, hey guys, like let's chill. He should have stuck the broom in and like pried him apart with it. But like, yeah, it just seemed like Disney was not quick enough. I feel like, you know, especially with that many people congregating at a time, there should be more security at all yeah. times.
Yeah. Well, and it was surprising, you know, cause you saw in the video, you saw one security guard. I'm not going to say lurking, but in the background,
yeah,
you saw the one standing there and, yeah. you know, having worked at the park, we know in a situation like that, one security guard is not going to go in by themselves. Right. They were waiting for
and
backup.
Yeah.
But the surprising
was
thing was
guy.
That
yeah.
there wasn't backup so readily available.
And we know too that, okay, so here's the deal with Disneyland security.
Stormtroopers should have come in.
30 years ago, 35 years ago, like, Disneyland security absolutely would have jumped in. If you read any of the books on Disneyland history or you've read any of the articles about, you know, Disneyland security about, I'm going to say about 20 years ago, about the time that I was working at the park. God, that just aged me.
Oh, wow.
I know. Probably 25 years ago. So maybe a little bit before, Disneyland went through a series of lawsuits, because of how heavy-handed security was. There was actually like a Disneyland jail, in the old admin building behind Main Street.
Wait, when did that end? Because I just read something interesting regarding their safety, but go ahead.
Oh, I mean, you're talking about 25 years ago that it's when right around the time that California Adventure opened. So maybe like 2001, 1999.
It was the late 90s. They changed a lot of their safety
policies.
Measures and two people died.
Oh, I've never heard that.
It was that one when that ship ride, what's it called? When the thing fell and hit two people and one of the people died.
Oh, when the cleat ripped off.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about
that was one of them. Yeah. I forget the other one.
The Columbia
yeah.
incident. Yeah.
And I was looking it up the other day because I forget what got me on the subject, but I was looking up people that have died at Knott's.
Okay.
And that led me, of course, to Disneyland and Magic Mountain. Magic Mountain, of course, has the most gruesome deaths, but
Yeah.
Well, including a decapitation.
And remember, no one has died at Disneyland.
Oh, that's right.
They have now. That was the policy, that no one could die at Disneyland. They had to declare them dead outside the park.
On Harbor, right?
Yeah. Like, once they got outside the park, if they could declare that, that's not the policy. The Columbia incident is the one that changed that. Now they have to call the police and the coroner and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
I forget about the second death. But yeah. Yeah, no, because I was reading that they had recently made all these cuts to their safety, and
that was the presser years of the cuts to maintenance. Mm-hmm, which
yeah,
we're
yeah,
well aware.
And then they changed it immediately.
But even prior to that, before, like maybe a couple of years before that, in the late 90s, mid 90s, Disneyland security would take, the Disneyland security of the 1970s and 1980s, like, they would take you out. They would, they would handcuff you, and they were like a little mini police force. And, people joke about Disneyland jail. There was actually a room underneath the old admin building behind Main Street that, they had since moved security, but there was still a room that had like a bar attached to it. Mm. And that's where they would literally handcuff you to the wall.
Oh, I was picturing something like a Sad Eye Joe situation from Knott.
just hanging out, just talking to the tourists. But then they went through a series of lawsuits because they were really heavy handed. And so right about the time that DCA opened is when they switched to like a more customer service based philosophy. And so like now they're security, but they're security in that they just like they have a Mickey Mouse badge. Like their uniforms used to look like cop uniforms, like police uniforms.
Right. And that's also when they now have the Anaheim substations.
Right. And that's the other thing.
So essentially they will try to de-escalate it until the Anaheim PD arrives.
Well, and here's my own take on Disneyland security. Like, anytime that there's a fight situation, I've noticed that they just maybe take a little bit longer to show up in hopes that it'll be over by the time they get there. This one just kept on going and going and going. But that substation that you talk about, that Anaheim PD substation, it does exist. And it's at the front of the park. It's behind the main, it's behind Main Street. It's in that admin area. And so Toontown is literally at the back of the park. And so it's going to take people time to get there. It's literally that back corner of the park, and just, a normal person, it could take you 20 minutes to walk back there. I'm sure the police and security had more hustle in their step, but it's still going to take you a while. There's not a security station just back there. So
they should be spread out throughout the park. I remember now, because I had commented on it, and when I sent you the link to the video, that's when I made the comment, and now I'm remembering. It was like, they should have people throughout the park, and like every so many feet should be a hidden security guard.
And here's the other thing. I don't want to trash Disneyland security because they do their best, but I've seen things with them in the past, with guests hitting cast members and guests getting into altercations with employees, and they're just following orders, but sometimes they're just, they're there to observe, and they're there to take, their directions from management, but they're not going to jump in and break up a fight. Those dudes were huge. I'm a big guy, but those guys were, no way I was getting involved in that.
I thought it was funny how long it took for people to go scramble around and find, hey, look, there's another big guy. Hey, big guy, come help.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They found one eventually.
Yeah. And they found
if I was a big guy, I'd be like, excuse me.
But yeah, finally a couple of guests, I think, took the one guy in the red shirt down. And
I would have just grabbed the baby and back to watch.
Then you would have gotten in trouble.
Do that.
One person, there was a small child that was kind of wandering around. And so one guest just wandered over, took the kid. So, it's sad. And, we're kind of making a little bit fun, but at least some charges are going to come to it. Now, Brandis, you were talking about an experience at Knott's Berry Farm where there was, and this was all over the internet as well.
Several people on, a couple different, Knott's Facebook pages. So not the official Knott's Facebook page. They're pretty locked down there. There was a couple weeks ago a fight between teenagers there. And that has been getting really out of control this summer with the teenagers just trying to fight in general. But yeah, it was a small group of teens that were part of a larger group of 20 to 30 teenagers in front of Supreme Scream, started fighting with each other. And as soon as security got there, they scrambled and they were just running into people and pushing them out of the way. Security, Knott's has not made a statement or anything, but according to some employees that do go on these websites, or I'm sorry, these pages, they did say security got all the teens, and people were reporting that there was several cops in and outside of Knott's. But this has kind of been an ongoing problem this summer.
And you were saying that it had something maybe to do with how Knott's handles their groups. They're like,
yeah,
because Disneyland, no, Disneyland doesn't do it as much anymore. And they were more guaranteed, sorry, geared towards younger kids. But Knott's has like day camps,
yeah,
right? Go in, or like your youth groups,
yeah,
go in, right?
So yeah, you could, when you arrive there, you will see in the back of the parking lot just.
They're all wearing matching t-shirts.
And the buses, it's crazy. Yeah. So yeah, this summer.
I've heard about the bus, the bus situation is weird too.
So this summer, it's been a lot more because we go all the time and it'll be small groups of like the Boys and Girls Club and it's younger kids and they're divided into smaller groups with an adult. But this summer, there's been a ton of teenage groups that are just getting dropped off there with no adult supervision. And these are older teens, like 16, 17, and you should be able to trust your 16 or 17-year-old to go to...
Listen, I work with 16 and 17-year-olds. I could trust them as well. They're not even my kids, and I don't trust them.
Okay, but you should, you know, trust them a little bit to exert their independence at that age. But when you have a large group like that where people are showing off, their hormones are crazy, it's gonna result in issues. And yeah, there was this one day... John and I were there and we were trying to go past Silver Bullet and it was just this massive wall of teens blocking everybody trying to get through. And so John and I were like up against the gate right there where that pond is under Jaguar. And so we're trying to make our way through and this other gentleman coming the opposite way from us didn't even like rudely bump a teen, but he's trying to get through and he bumps him and this teen starts trying to fight him. And he's like calling after him, trying to incite him. And the guy just ignored him and kept on walking. Which, you know, it really is a smart thing to do, but...
Because he didn't want to step to this, you know?
What did you say earlier? What did you say, fool?
Yeah. What was that? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just been bad this summer with the teenagers misbehaving.
Well,
yeah.
What was that, bro?
Yeah. So, I think... So, Knott's is talking about lowering the age that you could go there without adult supervision or raising it to 14, but the 14-year-olds aren't the problem here.
Do you know what it is now?
No, that's a good question. I didn't even look into it, but I was actually thinking of looking into it because my 12-year-old is getting that itch of independence where you want to give it to him, but you still got to keep him.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of going to Knott's with some of his friends that have passes and letting him go off on their own.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good, I mean, but also you guys are good parents. So, I mean, you know, hopefully
Jason's starting to fight.
Yeah.
Jason would really try to talk him out of it. And when that didn't work, he would go tell an adult.
Yeah. I don't see him bumping into somebody and just being like, come on, let's go. You know,
no, he'd be like, I'm so sorry. Are you okay?
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. By the way, I say these things because there was a time in my life where I would have probably, or at least I knew people that would have, you know, that I know what the lingo is.
I was one of those people until I got my butt kicked.
See, and that's sometimes that's all it takes.
I was 21 by the time it happened. But it was all it took for me to learn to shut up.
Yeah, 21. I didn't know you then, did I?
No, I met you a few years later when I'd calmed down a little.
Yeah, a little.
But I hadn't met, I had just met John, but we weren't at where we are now, so I still wasn't too calm.
That's so funny. Oh, man. All right. So anyway, that's that. My thought on that is that I think they would want to take a look at maybe, you know, Brandis said something about when you buy group tickets, like taking a look at limiting how many of these kids come in on, you know, with limited chaperones and really start holding some of these groups accountable for, you know, just
maybe sell group insurance.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to have a group, you have to buy this insurance.
Right. Well, I know, you know, like Disneyland, like grad nights and stuff, like they, you know, they know which groups are coming in. And if there's a problem with, you know, those groups and they get, you know, a ban, they just don't get let back. But I'd assume if it's, I don't want to, again, because they're older teens, I don't want to use the term day camp, but I'm assuming they're like youth groups or something like that.
Yeah. Like, it's probably I kind of assuming it's like a church trying to do good for kids that don't come from a good situation.
Right, yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, that's going to do it. I wanted to talk about those couple things. We're going to move on now. It's time for park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood. the entertainment capital of L.A.
Welcome, one and all. Y'all come have a ball. Things are very fine, riding on the old Blackberry line.
All right, Bar Copping is our news segment, and we've got a few things happening that we have not mentioned. Couple of milestones, a couple of big announcements coming out of the parks. John, let's start with Universal Studios Hollywood. What's going on there?
Well, Universal Studios Hollywood marks the grand opening of Jurassic World, The Ride.
Run! What was that? Run! Run!
Introducing Jurassic World, The Ride. Trying to survive the new adventure.
Inspired by Universal Pictures and Amblin Entertainment's Jurassic World blockbuster films, the spectacular new thrill ride features the film's stars Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, and B.D. Wong, who reprised their roles as Owen Grady, Claire Dearing, and Dr. Henry Wu, and soars to new heights with the addition of iconic dinosaurs from the movie, including the colossal... You're going to have to help me with this, Chris. Colossal Indominus Rex?
Indominus Rex?
Oh, God. Terrible. Okay. Colossal Indominus Rex and the magnificent...
Let me stop. Mosasaurus.
Thank you. The elaborately themed all-new raptor encounter where Blue, the beloved Velociraptor from the Jurassic World movie, engages with guests in daring face-to-face encounters along with the addition of two new dinosaurs, a baby raptor and her raptor handle and life-size Triceratops, who greets guests outside the Jurassic World The Ride entrance, further enhances the entire experience. Plus, a new interactive dino play area is designed to inspire children of all ages to explore and excavate giant dinosaur fossils. Costa Rican-inspired cuisine and flavored tiki cocktails served at Jurassic Cafe, all new tropical Isla Nublar add the dynamic guest experience, while an array of souvenir collectibles, limited edition and one-of-a-kind dimensional dinosaur sculptures from the Jurassic World Outfitters store. I saw some of the Triceratops walking around.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
It's actually really cool. Like, yeah, they let you come touch like parts of it.
So speaking of watching videos of it, I know I've been teasing it for a while, but our road trip reporter Diane Hobday, well, actually went on the opening day of Jurassic World, and so she
does. It still have the drop?
It does still have the drop.
Good.
It still has the drop.
Does it still have this, you know, jump scare?
That I don't know, because she didn't actually take video of the inside since she got the lion and she got a, but I guess like they really caution you about like taking your phones out and stuff inside, because I guess you really get wet inside. Now it's all enclosed.
My phone's waterproof.
It's, oh, okay. So there you go. So we can all go and get a video of that. But it looks cool. It was like a 5-hour wait, and she didn't wait that. She waited in the single rider line. What I've found with the single rider line is that the single rider line there is a liar, because we went when they closed the original Jurassic Park. And so they would tell you, oh, it's closed for the day. There's no more single rider. We're not doing single rider. Well, you would come back 20 minutes later and it's like, oh, single rider's open. Hey, look at that. And then, so what happens is that they let it fill up to a certain point. And then they close it off and then wait. So if you stand there for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, then, you know, it'll open up. But she said that the wait time was about 5 or 6 hours without Express. They told her that single rider was an hour. She waited like 20 minutes. Oh, so, wow. Yeah. So if you don't mind riding single rider.
Those ride times are like everywhere are off. Never trust the ride time.
Yeah, it's never. The closest I've seen is maybe Disneyland, but Universal Studios is really bad about keeping their ride times accurate. So when I said Chris Prattless, there's Karen, you know, Karen's search for a Chris Pratt audio animatronic. I think this is all video. It's all video screens. You can see it in the commercials that that's what this looks like. But they've enclosed a lot of it. I haven't had a chance to experience it, but I'm going to go out there this summer. I've got some tickets that are set to expire before, I think, September. So, what do you guys think? Is this something you guys are interested in seeing, or you would make a special trip?
That was my favorite ride there, outside of the Forbidden Journey.
Oh, yeah. The Jurassic park ride.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. John, you, I know you spent some time at Universal Studios last summer. Is this something that you are interested in seeing?
I definitely want to go see it.
Yeah.
Is it going to prompt me to buy another pass to yeah. go? Probably not.
Okay. That's fair. That's kind of, I think, what they're going for, is they're trying to do all these things. And so also we're going to put up, they're doing the nighttime Hogwarts lights right now, the
Dark arts,
yeah. So we're going to put up another video of that pretty soon as well, so you can check that out. But again, yeah, I have tickets that are going to expire. I don't know that this is something that would make me go if I didn't have tickets. It does look like it's a lot of screens, you know, that they've taken out a lot of, especially with the Mosasaurus, and it, you know, goes up against the tank. And
yeah, I saw so, that and, like, yeah. cracks a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You can see that in the. So. That's kind of my reaction to it.
I mean, how different can it? I mean, this sounds terrible, but how different can it be than the other ride?
Yeah,
it's going to be like with Bigfoot Rapids.
Right, and we'll talk about that. Okay. Like I said, again, we'll talk. I want to hear about your experience with the Bigfoot Rapids stuff as well. But all right, so that's that. You know, it is what it is, and I'm glad. I think I did not get a chance to ask Diane, and I haven't seen any of the ride-through videos, other ones that are online. But I'm assuming that they enclosed that first section where you go up the hill and enter into it, and so you can't see, like, the parking structure anymore, which is, you know, a win in my opinion. But all right, so what else is going on over at Universal Studios?
Universal Studios announces two new mazes to the 2019 lineup for Halloween Horror Nights. In a year dominated by 1980s nostalgia, led by the 80s-inspired Season 3 of Stranger Things, Universal Studios Hollywood has announced two new 80s-inspired mazes to this year's Halloween Horror Nights. Killer Clowns from Outer Space lands at this year's Halloween Horror Nights in all new chilling mazes at Universal Studio Hollywood and Universal Orlando Resort, bringing together the most twisted scenes and ghastly gags from the popular horror sci-fi film at the nation's premier Halloween events. Based on the cult 1980s film favorite, the Killer Clowns from Outer Space mazes will transport guests to the sleepy small town of Crescent Cove, taken over by a pack of murderous clowns-like creatures. Guests will be lured by the sweet smell of cotton candy and ice cream and find themselves in an otherworldly circus tent where they come face-to-face with the crazed clowns and their sinister, side-splitting antics. By the way, every time I say clowns, it's with a K, just so everybody knows.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because if you weren't going to, I was going to.
I remember that. No, okay. It's been forever since I've seen that movie. Anybody else remember that movie?
I've seen that movie. It is.
Is there something to do with gum?
No, it's cotton candy.
It's cotton candy.
Yeah, so it's a little bit like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. John, have you seen this movie?
It's been forever since I've seen it.
Okay, it's one of those cult, like, it's one of those terrible,
it's
terrible
a really
movies.
Yeah, super awesome and cheesy.
Right, exactly. It's so bad it's good. So, you know, it's kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where these clowns come from outer space and they drop down, and so they start, basically they cocoon you in cotton candy.
Okay. And I was thinking gum.
They have just these big, you know, oversized heads. It's a truly awful movie, but it's fun to watch.
So as they meet face to face with these crazed clowns and their sinister side-splitting antics, as they make their way through the Big Top spaceship, guests will witness diabolical clowns making cotton candy cocoons from unsuspecting victims and realize the joke's on them as they are next to become a gooey snack. From one shrieking clown to the next, the mazes will lead guests through the doomed community of Crescent Cove to an eerie amusement park closed for the season. Trapped in a terrifying funhouse full of killer clowns, guests will be left screaming as there's no stopping the twisted three-ring circus.
So this was actually done last year at Universal Studios in Orlando, and I saw a video of it. And so if they can pull off half of the... Now, they had a whole zone plus the maze. So they had, like, a street where they just had, like... They had the maze, or house, as they call it. They had the maze, and then they had a street that was also, like, themed to the killer clowns. And so they actually had, like, the giant clown masks and, like, bodies hanging in cotton candy from the, you know, from the buildings and stuff. So if they can pull it off at least half as well, here in Hollywood, it looked like fun. And actually, we're going to be going out to, Orlando and doing their Halloween Horror Nights, in September. So I'm really excited about that. But that's not all, as they say. John, what else is coming out of Halloween Horror Nights?
But wait,
who are you going to call?
More. For the first time ever, Sony Pictures' classic film Ghostbusters is coming to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood and Universal Orlando Resort, bringing the most memorable scenes, characters, and supernatural spirits from one of pop culture's most iconic films to life in immersive mazes based off the 1984 classic at the nation's premier Halloween events starting this September. Ghostbusters has entertained generations with its comedic yet frightening tale of four paranormal investigators on their quest to eradicate supernatural threats from creatures creating chaos throughout New York City. As the film marks its milestone 35th anniversary, guests will have the unique opportunity to live the action and terrifying scares as they have seen in the hit film when it comes to life at Universal Studios, Halloween Horror Nights in Hollywood and Orlando. In each maze, guests will follow in the footsteps of the Ghostbusters as they venture through artfully recreated scenes from the film, including the firehouse, New York Public Library, and the Temple of Gozer, as an army of ghoulish spirits, hideous specters, and ectoplasm-dripping phantasms attack from every corner. As they delve deeper into the maze, guests will come face-to-face with an array of paranormal creatures, from the ferocious Slimer to the all-powered Gozer and Gozer... I'm not pronouncing that right, am I?
No, you actually
okay.
are.
And Gozer and the ultimate destruction from the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man to the brave demonic spirits and survive the night.
So, okay, so honestly, so when they made this, because this is also coming to Orlando, when they made the announcement for this maze, this is what got me to buy the ticket to go to the Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando.
Yeah,
I'm so excited about this. Wondering how they're going to do the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That's one of my favorite scenes in all. Like, I'm a big movie fan in general. I think that's one of the funniest, most underrated scenes in movies where they introduce, you know, where they actually pan over to the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and they're asking Dan Aykroyd, what did you do, Ray?
I couldn't help it. It just popped in there.
What? What just popped in there?
I tried to think.
Look!
No! It can't be.
What is it?
It can't be.
What did you do, Ray?
It's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Well, there's something you don't see every day.
Tried to think of the most harmless thing. Something I loved from my childhood. Something that could never, ever possibly destroy us. Mr. Stay Puft.
Nice thinking, Ray.
This is cool. This is fun.
Yeah.
John, do you, and again, we went a few years ago to Halloween Horror Nights. Are you planning any trips out there this year?
We are not planning on this year. And that's been really the discussion amongst our group, which has gone pretty much every year for the past several years. I did not last year, but they've been going.
And I know they were kind of disappointed by it last year.
Yeah. And so the question is this enough to bring them back? And yeah. And right now, it's kind of a 50-50 split.
Okay.
So there's leaning like, well, maybe, but the same thing. They've kind of been a little bit disappointed with how the mazes have kind of been a little stale over the years.
And, right. And so
is this enough to...
Well, I know people were... I was really jazzed for the Stranger Things. A lot of people were really excited for the Stranger Things maze last year. And there was a lot of disappointment in how that was translated. Now, take that and compared to the reaction to the Stranger Things maze in Orlando, like, I guess it was like really just like two different experiences, because the one here just really disappointed people and people really loved the one out in Orlando. So I don't know if it's different teams putting it together, but in case you haven't noticed, there's an 80s theme going on this year for Halloween Horror Nights. And so I'm really excited to check out the Orlando version, because it just seems, well, first of all, that park's bigger. And it just seems like it's a more immersive experience. And it looks like I've seen videos of it. I've, you know, watched all the YouTube stuff. But it looks fun. So
since we're talking about Halloween, I just want to point out to our listeners that tickets for Not Scary Farm go on sale in August. And that's when you'll get them the cheapest. And if you go in late September and early October, that's when it'll be the less crowded.
Okay.
The least crowded.
Well, you guys have your annual, as we know, you guys have your annual passes
yeah.
here.
We will be there every weekend.
If you listen to the show for any amount of time, you know what
that unless means. My in-laws for some reason can't take the kids one day, we will be there
Yeah.
every weekend.
Now you guys are doing the buffet
We will be doing that the first week of or the last week of September, which is the first week of Not Scary Farm. Okay. So if you want to join us or our listeners want to try to find us.
All right. Sounds like fun. All right. Let's move on now. Speaking of Knott's Berry Farm, what happened? The log ride celebrated a so we lost and gained something as the log ride celebrates its
50th anniversary. There is so much talk online, like so much hate about this.
All right. John.
All right. The Timber Mountain Log Ride, which opened at Knott's Berry Farm on July 11th, 1969, was one of the first flume rides in the U.S. designed and created by theme park pioneer Bud Perlbud.
Yep.
Recently celebrated in its 50th anniversary at Knott's Berry Farm. The ride's legendary theming and final drop were credited as the first of its kind when it debuted back in 1969 and raised the bar for theme attractions around the country. In 2013, the log ride underwent an extensive restoration, which included all new audio animatronics created by Garner Holt Productions and a new seating arrangement. The ride also underwent a small renovation, which featured a new seating arrangement. Yeah. In celebration of the 50th anniversary, the log ride debuted two new animatronics, and also designed by Garner Holt Productions, who recently worked on the conversion of Bigfoot Rapids and the renovation of the Calico Mine Ride. To honor his impressive milestone, the park featured exclusive Timber Mountain Log Ride Anniversary merchandise featuring limited edition t-shirts, pins, and one-of-a-kind signed artwork pieces created by Jeff Delgado. Also on July 11th, guests entering the park received a commemorative button to mark the special occasion. Would you guys like to hear some fun facts about Timber Mountain?
I would like to hear some fun facts about Timber Mountain.
Opened July 1969, christened by Cordelia Knott with a bottle of Poisonberry juice.
That's adorable.
First rider was screen legend and friend of Walter Knott and friend of yours, Brandy John Wayne.
And his son, Ethan Wayne.
Oh, he was on there with him. Yeah. I didn't see that.
I think he was like six at the time. Yeah.
Oh, so he was not yet.
Not yet.
The ride is 330 feet long. It's 8 stories high. That's crazy. It doesn't seem like
it doesn't seem that tall. Yeah.
42-foot drop into a heart-pounding splash. Reaches 30 miles per hour.
All right, so let's talk about the, first of all, I'm going to plug another one of our videos. So Diane Hobdy also went to Knott's Berry Farm and rode the day of the 50th anniversary. So she got a cool video of that. She did an actual ride through. So if you want to see some of the new animatronics and things, which I think are fun, go and check out that video on YouTube. Just look up the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast on YouTube. So that was a lot of fun. But it's that splash at the end that kind of got them in a little bit of trouble about a year or so ago, where they had an injury.
And, two injuries,
right. And I think that's part of the reason that they changed that seating arrangement. And Brandy, you said that there's been a lot of unhappy people about that.
So, larger families, not larger as in big people. I mean,
larger groups.
Yes, thank you. Larger groups are, but it's more families. They're upset they can't go together now. They can't put as many people on the log anymore.
Yeah, because you used to be able to cram like, what, 6 people in there?
Yeah, six and smaller. If you had a bunch of smaller kids, you could get like 7 or 8. I don't know if they'd allow 8, but I do know you could fit that many. So yeah, so it's people with a family larger than 4 are no longer allowed to ride together.
Right. So now they've reduced the capacity down to 4.
And before, yes. So and then
for those that don't know, what they've done is it used to be kind of like old Splash Mountain. It used to be just a log, hollowed out, fiberglass log, and you would just squeeze in there. And now they put dividers in that limits the amount of seating to 4.
Yes. So and then also tall people are complaining that they don't comfortably have room for their legs anymore. And then larger sized people are also complaining they don't comfortably fit now. And they don't have, because that's not a lap belt or harness issue like other rides have. So you could sit in the test seat before you go on.
Right.
So there's a lot of angry people for that.
That's interesting because, I mean, you basically they would tell you put the, I think they would say put the large people in back. There used to be a sign or something, you know, that would say, larger people, smaller people towards the front, larger people, kind of like when you ride Dumbo or you ride any of the spinning rides, you know, it's like larger people towards the inside. Yeah. So you don't,
squish
the person. Although it was fun to like try to put the big, I'm a big guy, sit in the front because if you put the big guys in front, you get the bigger splash when you hit the water. Yes. But, so I think that
those injuries really pushed them towards making this. So you guys tell me, we all grew up in Southern California, yes? All right. So did you guys ever take a date to Knott's Berry Farm?
Take a what?
Take a date.
Oh. You know, my husband's sitting here, so I'd rather not discuss it.
So, okay. And here's what I lamented, because I went with a friend recently to Knott's, and I back when I got my annual pass, and we lamented that. So this was always a good, and Splash Mountain was the same way until they changed their seating arrangement. This was always a great way to figure out how your date was going, right? So, you know, if you went up there and they would be like, how many? And then they would ask you, oh, do you want to, there were larger sections that you could sit in. So if the date was going well, do you want to sit together? Or do you want to sit separately? Right. So if the date was going well, that, you know, you could look at your date and, you know, get an idea. Okay. Let's sit together. If the date wasn't going well, they'd be like, no, let's sit separately. So that was, you know, so that was always a great way. And now that's kind of something that's lost, and there's no way to gauge how the date's going now. That was always, you know, that was always a fun
You mean thing. Now you have to rely on communication?
Yeah. It's terrible. I don't,
instead
I don't,
of games,
I don't like that. It's all dating, it's just games. All right, so but yeah, so a lot of people are unhappy about the fact that the fact that they've changed this. And have you guys ridden the new one yet, the updated log?
I haven't,
ride?
No,
the lines have been too long.
Well, because they reduced the capacity.
That was another complaint, is that the line's a lot longer now. But no, we're spoiled, so if there's more like than a 10-minute wait, we're not going.
That's how I feel about Disneyland. I'm not waiting in line for that. All right. So fair enough. So I want to get to Knott's before the summer ends, because I haven't used my pass as much as I want to, but I'm going to check that out. So all right, last one in the news. Changes are coming to a very popular cantina at Galaxy's Edge.
Yes. Edge continues to evolve and settle into its flow as the option to book up to 2 weeks in advance for Oga's Cantina, and Savvy's Workshop becomes available today, with 60-day booking to be rolled out soon afterwards. Since Disneyland's Star Wars Galaxy's Edge fully opened to the public in June, several spots in the new land have been doing a brisk business. But some experience fill up in the early hours of the day before visitors to the Anaheim Park get a chance to check them out. Oga's Cantina features a moody atmosphere, themed cocktails such as Jedi Mind Trick and the non-alcoholic Carbon Freeze, and features entertainment from DJ R3X, known to many visitors as Captain Rex, the original pilot droid from the Star Tours ride in Tomorrowland. Previous visitors to Black Spire might have noticed that reservations for the cantina, the only place that Disneyland sells alcohol to the general public, go quickly. Visitors were required to physically go to Oga's to line up for a reservation for some time that day, and those spots often went fast. Now you can make reservations for the popular bar straight from your phone. Previously, visitors to Galaxy's Edge were required to access the often temperamental booking page on the Disneyland website the morning of their visit.
Yeah, so what would happen is that you would go to your app to make a reservation, like everything else in existence at Disneyland and any other restaurants or you know, places to eat. And you, instead of making it directly from the app, it would take you to the page, the Disneyland.com page. And when you're inside the park, or you know, you're trying to get through, it would have it'd show you that dates were open, or that your particular day was open, and that would only be for that day. It wouldn't you know, show you anything further out. Mm-hmm. And they would say, okay, well, what time do you want to make your reservation for? And so then you would say, okay, I want to make my reservation for 9 o'clock at night. And so then it would just spin and spin and spin and spin, and then it would kick you out, and then it would let you back in. So that was part of the problem with that. But now it just lets you do it, because we did it. We're going next weekend.
Disney has now added the option to reserve a time at the cantina from its Disneyland mobile app or on its website. Disney has also confirmed that Savvy's Workshop will also follow the 60-day reservation process currently offered for restaurants and experiences requiring reservations. As of July 24th, 2019, reservations for Oga's Cantina are available through August 7th, 2019, and the Savvy's Workshop reservation page redirects to a calendar also with the available through August 7th, 2019. A limited number of same-day reservations will also be available starting at 7 a.m. from visits that day, according to the website.
All right. So the other thing to keep in mind with if you make a reservation at Savvy's Workshop, which is the lightsaber building experience, number one, it's $200. Number two, if you make your reservation, make sure you go. Make sure that this is something you actually want to do. Because if you make your reservation, there is no canceling it. If you cancel it or if you just don't show up, they're going to charge your card $200.
Wow.
So they're trying to really make this as a deterrent to people that just book reservations and then don't show up or book reservations and then cancel them. So this is, I don't know that they actually would charge you the $200, but this is what they're threatening. So, I know you guys, we have not been yet, but I'm promising to take you to Galaxy's Edge. John, have you been to Galaxy's Edge?
I've not been to Galaxy's Edge yet.
Okay. Cool. So I'm the only one that's been. At the table. This is going to lead us kind of into our next topic, but I think this is a good change because it definitely opens up more. Like I said, I was able to book, we're going with some friends next weekend, and we're able to book some stuff into the canteen, make a reservation for the canteen at like 10:30 in the morning. So yay for day drinking. But you know, you weren't
just
able
don't
to
get
do that
in any fights.
Right now, I can't, you know what, I can't promise anything. So we're able to book this now, and it's a good thing. I'm really excited that they're doing this because it just makes the experience a lot better for people that are going in. So, all right. Well, thank you, John, Permanent John, for reading that, for getting us through that. So really quickly here, because we're coming up to the end of our time, and I want to talk about some of our experiences and what we've – I had this whole thing planned about is Star Wars Land of Flop. And then I got through it and I was like, it started sounding really, really negative. So I don't necessarily want to get into that, but just I want to say that it does, that the parks have been advertised as being really slow. The couple of times that I've gone this summer, they have been moderately slow, and they would have been considered like a good crowd level 10 years ago. But now, because just how artificially busy Disneyland is all the time now, I think that people are saying, oh, look at how empty it is. It's not really all that empty. What it is that it's normal empty. It's normal crowded. 30-minute lines, 45-minute lines. Smuggler's Run is like a 75-minute wait. It's not crazy, crazy busy like we're used to seeing. That being said, the annual pass holders that are on the lower tiers have not been released yet. And so that's going to start getting busier. I think people are going to be
that's why Knott's is so packed.
That's why Knott's is so packed. Because a lot of people gave up their Disneyland passes and went to Knott's. And I think that the people are going to start making their end of the summer trips. And I think they've been reading all this media stuff about how empty it is. Well, I went on Facebook. I went online the other day and I was watching these pictures of people like just like buying tickets. There's long lines of people buying tickets. They also did the, they're doing the discounts. They're doing the annual pass holder, bring a friend for $99. So is Disneyland, you know, not as busy as they would like it to be? Yes. But I think it's, they want it to be crazy busy all the time. And so they did not get the attendance boost from Star Wars Land that they thought they were going to. That being said, I've had a wonderful time at the parks. I just wanted to read one thing. So I want to talk kind of like the things that we've experienced, maybe some of the things that we're excited about. One thing that I am excited about, and that's actually coming back as of next weekend, is going to be the Main Street Electrical Parade, which is how you can tell that they're desperate to get people back in to the parks, because that's what they do.
You mean the Main Street Electro Parade, which was never supposed to return?
Yeah, the one that was glowed away forever when they bought
it. It's like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. They bought a warehouse full of Christmas lights and sold them to people as having been used in the electrical parade. Yeah, that one. That's the one. So you can always kind of tell when they want to. A friend of mine used the term short-term gate driving initiatives. So they're desperate to get people through the gates into the parks because, honestly, the end of the quarter is coming up and people are going to get fired if the attendance doesn't pick up. So the limited time encore engagement is set to begin on August 2nd with lightning performances through September 30th, which is actually the shortest run in the parade's history. It's literally there to get people in at the end of the summer.
Is that a big crowd pleaser? A lot of people come for that?
Yes.
You know what?
Yeah, I haven't seen it since I was a kid, and it was a lot of fun. I would go to see it again.
5 years ago, you know, John, I would have said yes. I would have said, like, absolutely. But ever, you know, and I love the Main Street Electrical Parade, and it's a lot of fun, and I have a lot of great memories of it. you're talking about an almost 50-year-old parade now. And after they brought in Paint the Night, which was the kind of the updated version of it, I have to say that the Main Street Electrical Parade looks a little old-fashioned. And it's easy for them to bring back, but it looks a little...
But that's fun. It's nostalgia. It's kitschy.
It's an analog parade in a digital world.
Yeah, but I think you are. You bring the nostalgia back for our generation.
And the music, is the music going to be the same?
The music, yeah, the music's going to be the same. It's the same, you know, it's the same Main Street Electrical Parade music. So, you know, so yeah, maybe, apparently I'm the only one, you know. But that's how you can tell that they're trying to get people into the park, because anytime they bring back the Main Street Electrical Parade, it's like, okay, you guys just want... And, you know, it's people like my age and our age, you know, here that are going to take their kids and their families to go see it, because that's, you know, they remember it from
so
their
we could take
childhood.
Our kids to ignore it because they don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, no, but that's just because Samuel can't use the bathroom there.
Oh.
We have to leave early.
Does he just...
He can't use the bathroom in front of people.
Oh. He refuses to use the bathroom in public places. Yeah.
That's quite good. You know what? I wish I had that resolve, because public bathrooms gross me.
We've never been at Disneyland that like
till the end.
We've never seen the fireworks because he's begging to go home.
Yeah, because
so, when we go camping, somehow he works it out.
Well, no, it's because there's no people around.
Yeah,
but like when we go to Big Bear, well, that's too much. We won't talk about that.
All right. Yeah.
That concludes bathroom talk for the evening. That's right. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Looking forward to getting into the park a couple more times. I'm looking forward to getting out to Knott's eventually, and, you know, going on the Bigfoot Rapids redo. Not Bigfoot Rapids. Was it Calico?
Calico. What is
Calico Rapids.
Calico Rapids now.
What is it called?
I believe so. Isn't it Calico Rapids now?
Yes. Calico Rapids.
We may have to do a retraction next episode.
We'll do a retraction next episode. I believe it's Calico. It's Calico Rapids.
Yeah,
Calico River Run. That's
there
what it
you
is.
Go.
Calico River Run. So, but that's what I'm looking forward to. I have still not gone out to see Knott's Summer Nights. But Brandis, you had an experience.
Yeah, John and I went for date night, and start off with if you remember, I was really excited that beer and wine were included on the tasting card. Do not be excited about that. Okay, so it's $35 for 8 tastings, but you get only 4 ounces of beer.
Like a little.
If you do the math, you get the same exact amount buying a full beer. A full beer is 12 ounces, so you get 2 beers. You paid the same price as the 8 tastings.
Okay.
So don't waste your tabs
on the
alcohol.
Wow.
The food was underwhelming, but it's not the Boysenberry Festival.
Okay.
What did we get, John? Oh, the churro loops. John liked those. I found them underwhelming.
We were talking. We didn't know what quite those were. So what did those end up being?
It's a churro turned into a, like, they just curve it.
It's like, it's pretty weird.
I know. I was looking forward to a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I thought there was like a big Fruit Loops, but, you know, churros.
Yeah. And then they dip it in.
Yeah, you could choose your topping. What is it? 2 toppings?
So it was a donut.
Yes.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah, churro donut. Let's see what else. We had the ice cream. That was good. I did enjoy that. It was the perfect size.
It was ice cream in a cone.
But it was the perfect size. It wasn't like too much, too little.
Yeah.
What else did we have?
This peach cobbler thing that was gross.
Ooh.
Yeah. You can't do fresh
cobbler. How do you mess up peach cobbler?
I don't know.
Well, because you can't, like, they're not baking a fresh cobbler and bringing it out all warm. And
I've been to plenty of buffets, so, and you can screw up peach cobbler pretty easily if you let it sit too long.
What else do we have?
We had the beer.
Oh, yeah. They had a new berry cider that was pretty tasty. All the other beers are the same.
How did you enjoy the entertainment?
We did enjoy it. What's the name of the all-girls band?
Suffragettes.
There you go.
Oh.
They play a lot of the hits, so that's enjoyable.
Girls? I don't know.
And then when they go on break, they have a DJ that is on the roof of Hang Time gift shop.
Oh, okay.
And that was really fun because they announce him, and the music's coming, and you could hear him, you know, announcing things. You're just like, where is he? Where is he? And then you look up, and there he is, looking down on the crowd.
Now, this is all pretty much in the boardwalk, in the boardwalk area, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you guys get a chance to try the s'mores at all? Or did you see people doing the s'mores at all?
No, the tables were set up, but I think the problem is there's too many people using the tables to watch the bands.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So you couldn't really use the fire if you did get a s'more. The crowds are pretty good, though.
Yeah. Has it been busy? Has it been the crowds?
Yes, it's been crazy busy.
Because the Summer Nights thing doesn't start until the evening, right?
No, it starts right when Ghost Town Alive ends.
All right. Cool. And then you did the video on the Bigfoot, on the Calico River Run.
Yes.
What do you think of that? Does that look pretty successful? Obviously it's been warm.
I would say the best part about it is the, interior now. They created, when you stand in line, it used to be this like cover, which back in the 90s did have misters, like it was misting down on you. And now it's just sun beating through the tarp. Yeah. But they turned that into like a whole cabin thing, you know, made it more visually appealing and out of the sun.
They themed the whole line pretty well.
How about the ride itself?
It's the same.
Okay.
Just, you know, with more animals here and there. And this, finally, Bigfoot.
Yay. Okay. Yeah.
After all these years, you finally get to see Bigfoot.
All right. That's cool. Did they finally turn off the waterfalls permanently, or did
it appears so? There was all this rumor online because there was these TNT,
right? That plungers. You were going to be able to interact.
People thought you'd going to be able to blow it up and splash people. Yeah. That's not there.
Okay, because that was one of the things that they
is why you shouldn't listen to rumors,
right? I mean, it's a great album.
Well, no, it was on the actual. Yeah,
Lovely Woodmack.
No, it's not a great album.
Because that was one of the things that they were actually
like on the picture,
like touting. Yeah, that there was going to have interactive water elements and all that.
Maybe they're going to add it later. Maybe
right. Interesting. Maybe just it never worked the way that they wanted it to.
Or maybe they couldn't get it done in time for this season, so they're going to do it during the winter when it gets all cold.
Yeah, nobody's going on it.
Halloween.
Have you guys been recently?
We went not a couple of weeks ago. We saw Crazy Kirk in the.
Oh yeah, that was actually. Can I just say this to all of our listeners out there? If you bring a kid to these shows and they're not interested in it, it's totally understandable. But shut your kid up, please.
Or just go.
So it was really nice. We got with our dining pass. We went around. I think it was called Sutter's Grill.
Oh yeah.
We went around. I got the buffalo chicken sandwich, which was really good.
Okay.
Took it back to see the Crazy Kirk show and just sat there and made a mess trying to eat while watching the show. But it was good. It was really nice to, you know, get a dinner show.
The show's back in the wagon camp now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Anything else from the Knott's front?
No.
John, what are you looking forward to? How's your summer been? I know you, again, we had that discussion about what summer means to adults, but.
Yeah. Adulting, it sucks.
It sucks.
When did this happen?
Right. Do you have any extra plans for this coming for the rest of the summer? Because we're
hitting Silicon Valley Comic Con in August. Going to Vegas and seeing Def Leppard.
Nice.
Come on.
Nice, dude. Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
John perked right up.
Yeah, he's like, yes.
Twice. They're awesome.
And pretty much just all the other stuff which comes with owning your house.
That's exciting. And by exciting, I mean, I feel your pain.
Yeah. Mowing the lawn again.
It's a very summer activity. Again, mowing the lawn. But, all right. Well, I'll be taking off again in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be putting together another YouTube video. We're going to have all kinds of stuff coming to our YouTube channel, from my Alaska cruise. And one of these are probably on our next show. I'll do a small breakdown of, how our Alaska cruise went. It was, spoiler alert, it was awesome. It was also 90 degrees in Alaska.
Wow.
So, there was that. It was the hottest day that we were there. We decided to go on a hike. So
that made the news. It was
record-breaking. Yeah. It was hot. And the people that live up there were dying. And then the one stop that we made, it was like the hottest day of the year. And we went on a hike to it's called the Yukon Cemetery. And a lot of the, settlers of early Alaska are buried there. And then it was cool because about 500 yards past that is this great waterfall. So that was fun. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. And then I'm taking off again. We're going to go to New Orleans and then Disney World. We're going to go see Illumination.
New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. I actually found out that if you call it down there, they will they'll like out you as a tourist. It's New Orleans is how you. Okay. Yeah.
Don't forget to bring back a ton of beads to put on your rearview mirror because apparently that's what you do.
Is that what you do? Yeah. So,
never understood that.
I mean, I have to get the beads first, so I'm good with that. But
yeah, what does he have to go through to get the beads?
Exactly.
Well, he's going with his wife, right?
There you go. So we're going to do that, and then we're going to actually road trip from New Orleans to Disney World, take a day or two, and then drive down to Florida, see all kinds of the roadside stops and stuff.
Ooh, can you please make sure you take a lot of pictures of the locals?
Yes. Yes. We're going through some really interesting spots. So
that's going to be fun, though.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. But all right. Well, that's going to do it for this show. Thank you guys for tuning into our midsummer check-in, and we hope you've enjoyed it. We're going to do one more of these before we resume our regular schedule coming up in September. So I'd like to thank you all for joining us. Thank you for listening. I'd like to thank our co-host for the day. Thank you, John. Thank you, Brandis. And thank you, John Original Recipe. You can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, our Instagram, VL Podcast, our Twitter, @vacationlandshow, and our email, vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you're listening to us on iTunes or watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and comment. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the host and executive producer of the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you've enjoyed your stay in Vacation Land. We'll see you soon.